Amen. But I want to share a piece of Old Testament scripture with you this morning. And I'll tell you why after we read the story. It's a piece of a story that's already really in progress. Chapter 9 of before chapter 10 is already kind of well into play. And chapter 10, I just want to jump in kind of in the middle of the story. And I'll give a little back text here in a minute to fill in maybe an empty spot or two. But the story itself in chapter 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 10. The Lord really just impressed me with this morning. So 1 Samuel chapter 10, I want to read the first 13 verses of that chapter. And then we'll pray and ask the Lord to bless our time, bless His word, to bless you that's here today. Amen. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be preaching this word this morning. I am. I believe this word holds something so significant for some today. I really do. I really do. God's word will change us if we let it. It'll so alter our life. It'll so radically change us. And not just a little, but a lot. It'll change everything. And I believe that this morning. I'm excited about it. I can't hardly stand still. Amen. Amen. Let's read this together. If you want, we'll stand. And then we'll bless the word, and you can be seated. Of course, the prophet Samuel, the Bible says, took a vial of oil, and he poured it upon, talking about Saul at this time, king, not yet king, but soon to be King Saul, and he poured this oil upon his head, and he kissed him. I was sitting there reading that this morning, and I said, I'm going to tell all the men, I'm going to pour oil on you and kiss you this morning. Just to make you nervous. Those of you that don't know me are nervous, and those of you that do know me are really scared. Because those of you that don't know me think he won't do that. But you're nervous. Those of you that do know me, he might. He might just do that. Amen. He won't unless the Lord tells him. But listen what it goes on and says. Samuel said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Question mark. He's saying, ain't this all been about what God's been trying to do? And I'll share some of that with you in a minute. When thou art departed from me, talking to Saul today, then this is what's going to happen. God had spoken Samuel's ear, the prophet. And he began to tell Saul. He said, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher or her tomb in the border of Benjamin and Zelah. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses. He's not worried about the asses anymore, but he sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? He's saying, my son is lost now. Verse 3. Then, that's not all of it, then shall they go forward from there, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there you shall meet thee three men going unto God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. They will salute you and give thee two loaves of bread, which you shall receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass when thou art come there to the city that thou shalt meet a company of prophets. Church. You're going to meet church. The church is going to let out. Here comes the whole church coming down from the high place. They've got their psaltery. They've got their tabret. They've got their pipe, their harp, the praise band before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And you shall prophesy with them. And you shall be turned into another man. My God. And let it be when these signs are coming to thee that thou do as an occasion serve. Let these signs serve you. All that the prophet Samuel has told him, he said, when these all happen, let these signs serve you. Let these be an assurance. Let these be confidence to you that God is with you. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice a peace offering. 7 days shall you tarry till I come to thee and show thee what you shall do. And it was so. It was just like Samuel said, that when he turned his back from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs. I want you to know it wasn't until he got the other heart that all those signs. This is so rich, I don't know if I can finish reading it or not. Once again, I know where I'm going. He gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, the company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass that when all knew him before time, ain't that Saul? They saw, and behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that is coming to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had made an end of prophesying, the Bible says he came to the high place. Amen. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, I do. I love you today and I honor you. I thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that I can bring this forth in just an ounce of the power, the thickness, the glory that I sense in my spirit having studied it, Lord. Allow me to bring it forth in the way, Lord, that it's just been so glorious as I've studied it. Touch and anoint hearts. Lord, minister among folk today. Allow this to become even the reality in those that have gathered here today. On this last Sunday of the year, Lord, bless, touch, and anoint. Use your word for your glory, for your kingdom, for mankind's sake, for heart's sake, for life's sake, for those that are in dire danger even today, maybe here. Lord, anoint. Have your way. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. And all the glory is yours. In the name of our great Savior, our coming King, in Jesus Christ's name. And all this church agrees this morning says, amen. Come on, let's give him glory this morning. Come on, let's lift him up. Come on, praise his name. Lift him up. Honor him this morning. What a God he is. What an awesome God he is in this place this morning. The God of this book. Oh, it dwells within us this morning. I thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I got to just give you a little backdrop, and I'm not going to go real deep or real far, but I want you to realize even why I'm here, where I'm at this morning in this story, and looking at this story out of the Old Testament. Some time ago, a week or two ago, and I shared this, I think, with some of the Wednesday night thoughts, but I felt like the Lord had put it upon my heart, really, to declare this coming year the year of His Spirit. The year of His Spirit. I believe that. This is going to be the year of His Spirit. And as I been mulling it over and grabbing and trying to get a hold to it into my own soul, and that, this is kind of like, you know, His Spirit, it runs from Genesis 1 to all the way to the end of Revelation. And it's in every book of the Bible, but maybe like two, and them's the two little books, Philemon and 2 John, 3 John, three little books. It's not it, but the Spirit engulfs the whole Bible and engulfs everything that we really even know about the kingdom. So how do you even come up to take on such a thought of trying to bring forth and reveal God's Spirit in a practical and in a way that we in this culture, this age, would grasp it for a reality for ourselves. And the Lord took me back to my day when I had just come to the Lord, and even before that had not really come to the Lord, and was just coming to the Lord and had just come to the Lord, how I began to even learn any truth, any doctrine of the Bible, but especially the Spirit. And then that was reading these Old Testament stories. Reading and unpacking them and studying and seeing how God moved. Now, I know we're in a different dispensation. We brung this out in Sunday school. The Spirit moves differently now in the New Testament. I know that us as believers, this is the age of the Spirit. This is the dispensation of the Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, that church door flew open and the Spirit of God now operates in a much different realm. But you can still study the Old Testament and see how God's Spirit moved. You can learn His character, learn His being, His ways, learn His mannerism, learn what He's looking to fulfill and the purposes that He's after. You can see how He interacts with man and what He's trying to accomplish with man. And you can really look at these stories. And as for me, one who wasn't theologically deep, it was a way for me to grab hold and wrap my arms around who God is in the Spirit. And what that really means to me, because I hear them throw around big New Testament words about the Spirit that meant very little to me at that time, very little. I didn't understand some of the terminology. I didn't understand this sealing and even at one time even baptisms. And I didn't understand a lot of it, but I could go and look at these stories and I could see how God's Spirit moved and I could track Him. And I could see what He done upon man and how He worked with man. And I could put my hands on it. And I could come away from that learning and understanding and bring me to the place to where learning the New Testament work of the Spirit then become so much easier. It allowed me to understand Acts 2 so much better after I learned the Spirit of the Old Testament. Woo! Amen. So I really am looking back at some Old Testament stories that we may learn about the Spirit. That we may simply learn. And this story, this just happens to be the first bite of the elephant that come about. It's just the way it was. This is the first story that God ignited in my soul. And it's so awesome. Was in context. I preached on this story, actually chapter 9, several years ago. Whitlock will remember because he still brings it up every now and again. But I preached on this story out of chapter 9 many years ago and kind of brings it in context because it was this God moving providentially on Saul's life and his father that really sets this whole story up. Because in that story, in that message, I talked about how God will sometimes turn your donkeys loose to guide you into His purposes. And that's really what the story was about. Not Samuel 9 is all about how God came needing a king because the people wanted a king. God picked him one out. And to get Saul to the place to where he could accept God's purposes, he turned his donkeys loose, his father's donkeys. How many know sometimes God will turn your donkeys loose? And you'll be thinking you're chasing donkeys. And really, God's got you going right for purpose. Right for what He wants. You feel like you're chasing donkeys. You feel like you're chasing these things. But God's providentially guiding. Taking you to the place to where He can fit you for His purposes. And in this story that I've read you this morning, it's really at the end of that, when we see really Saul, who's all of a sudden in verse 1 as we read this morning, finds out I'm really not chasing donkeys at all. See, some of you here this morning, maybe it is you're chasing something and you really wasn't even sure why you were here this morning or why this is even a part of my life today. But let me just tell you something. Maybe it is all that you've been chasing. It's just a setup. It's just God moving, God working. Turn things loose in your life. left the gate open to some things. Some things got away. Some things run off. Some things broke out. I've learned there's a lot of times if God hadn't turned some things loose in my life, I'd have never found the purposes that he had intended for me. It was some of the things that got away that led me to the purpose that he really had for me. Ooh. Amen. And that's really how this story is unfolding. And if I could be so bold this morning, I asked Cindy, I said, is that too strong? And she looked at me like, maybe. But given to a higher power this morning, I just want to bring you a little bit of a title this morning about going from chasing jackasses to being captain of his inheritance. And that's the heart of this story. Saul leaves. If I could sum this whole two chapters up, Saul leaves chasing jackasses. And somewhere in all the mix, leaves a captain of his inheritance. Ooh. Hey! Amen. Amen. So, if you'll just allow me to kind of tear into this a little by little. And it's not that really what all of life is anyway. Isn't that kind of what life is and life brings us? Don't that how life has been working out for you that have come to know Christ? Hasn't it been where you've been chasing all these things? And that finally, some of you can say it now. Finally, I have come to be the captain of his inheritance. I'm not chasing those things anymore. Amen. Amen. So I'd like to just slowly tear into this scripture just a little by little, if I could, this morning, and as speedily as I can to get to where I'm going. But go back to verse 1, if you would, Miss Kellen. I want us to read that again, and I want us to just kind of come through it. And so Samuel took the vow. This is after Saul went searching for his daddy's donkeys, Kish. They've been gone, and he's looked. And how many know if God don't want you to find them, you ain't going to find them? How many know that you really long for, that you think you can't live without it? If God don't really want you to have it, you ain't going to have it. And you'll chase on, and you'll keep chasing, and you think you're after that, but God's got something going on. I said, I come to tell somebody, God's got something going on. And so he's chasing after, and he's chasing, and they're nowhere to be found in chapter 9. We can't find them anywhere. So his sidekick, his buddy, has got this thought. He said, well, we can't find them anywhere. He says, I know a prophet. He said, I know where there's a prophet. Now, I'm Lee Sarvatizing the rest of this message. I know this prophet, which was Samuel. And he'll tell us, surely he'll know, he's the seer. He'll be able to tell us where our donkeys are, where your dad's donkeys are, so we can go home. So Saul says, okay, but we got nothing to bring him, and da-da-da-da-da. But they go on anyway, long story short, and they go to Samuel. And, of course, the Bible says that God has already spoke into Samuel's ear a day ahead of time. How many know God's good? Hey! God's good. See, the Lord give me this a day ahead before you even knew you was coming. He done spoke in my ear. Anyway, so he speaks into his ear that there's a man coming. He's looking for donkeys. But here's what you must do to set him on my purpose, to anoint him for my plan. So Samuel begins to tell Saul, chill out about the donkeys. The donkeys have been found. It's you God's worried about. The donkeys will be all right, for they are home. But it's you. So this is where the story picks up. So Samuel took the vial of oil, and he poured it upon his head. And Samuel kissed him. And he said, all of this, All of this has been designed. All this has been orchestrated. All of, and he's asking Saul, do you agree? Because it's the question. He says, don't you agree? This whole scenario, this whole story has played out because God's wanting to anoint you as captain over his inheritance. God's got a greater purpose for your life. Ain't you ever sat in church or been a part of a service or a part of the songs or a part of the preaching or maybe something that somebody said and you just felt like God said that just for me? Well, he did say it just for you, and it's all for this greater purpose. I believe that all of my life, all of your life, was worked in such a way to try to get. Now, whether we submitted to it or not, that's up to every personal will. But God's tried to so work us and work all things together in such a way that we all come to the place to where we'll answer the question, ain't all this about God trying to get me to the place to where I will submit to this? All of life's like that. I've seen it many times. Sometimes it wasn't donkeys. Sometimes God turned someone's health loose. And their health went down. And they thought they was chasing health, but they ended up finding God, the healer. Or someone's spouse. Or someone's relationships. Or someone's lifelong passion. God will cut it loose. And we go chasing. But God is working it. Is he not anointing this? Is he not appointing this for this greater purpose? So I like this. But in the next three or four verses, here's what Samuel does for Saul. And two or three of them is really, it's not important to what the signs were, but Samuel begins to give Saul signs. Just so you'll have great assurance. Because he knew Saul, like all of us. Sometimes when it comes to thus saith the Lord, we lack confidence. We lack assurance. Some of you out there right now would be doing greater things for God if you just had the assurance that you're supposed to have. If you're just bolder in God like you should be. What keeps you bolted down from stepping out to do great things from God, it's the lack of assurance. You know I'm telling it. You know you would. But that's what Samuel tries to rectify for Saul. He knows Saul's going to try to stand behind all this stuff and blend in and not be the one. So in verse 2, he begins to tell him, this is what's going to happen for you. I'm going to give you some signs. Now, I'm not here this morning to tell you, you need to start sign seeking. But I am here this morning to tell you, you need to seek the giver of all those signs and the Spirit. So, he says, when thou art leave here today, you're leaving here today, I'm going to oil you down and I'm going to give you a kiss. And I want you to know, this is for this occasion. He said, but when you leave here today, well, then you're going to find two men by Rachel's sepulcher, by the border of Benjamin and Zelah. And they will say unto thee, this is going to be the reassurance, the asses are found. How many know that's going to be pretty good assurance? It would do it for me. After that, you're going to find that. Then, the asses which you once seek, they are found, and lo, your father has now quit caring about the asses, and he's worried about you. Verse 3, another sign. After that, you're going to go forward from there, and you're going to come to the plain of Tabor, and you're going to meet there three men. Three, not four, not five, not two. You're going to meet three men, and it's going to be specific. He said, you're going to meet these three men that are going somewhere, not just anywhere. Not just happenstance. No, they going to Bethel. I'll tell you what. I will say this. If someone's going to tell me God says this, I want to be specific like this. Come on. I want to get right down in my junk mail. Hey! And go to telling me that as they're heading to Bethel, he said, listen, one's going to be carrying three kids or goats or lambs. I'm going to be looking. The other's going to be carrying three loaves of bread. Good glory to God. Woo! Another one is going to have a bottle of wine. How many know if you see characters coming up over the hill at Bethel, and one of them's got three goats, one's got three loaves of bread, and none's got a fifth of tickled pink. Some of y'all don't know what tickled pink was, but it's a good thing. You shouldn't know. You see that coming, how many know that there's going to be something rising? They're going to be like, whoo. Amen. And they will salute thee. Not only are you going to see this, they're going to salute thee. Or howdy, whatever the salute was. How y'all doing? In Craig County, you couldn't go about back years ago. You could now. Back years ago, everybody waved. That's the way us country folk were. See, I still am. I wave 100 times a day, and maybe two will wave at me. They stand, make me stand there and look like they think I'm deranged. I've got some of them that finally they broke over. Finally they just grin and like, humor the crazy little gray-haired man. He's crazy. He's happy. He just waves at everybody. I got a bunch of fancy church people live up by me. I mean, they fancy church people. They big-time church people. And they'll go by now. Amen. But they're going to salute you. And not only that, they're going to give you, not going to give you all the bread, but they're going to give you two loaves of wonder. Two loaves of wonder to take home with you. Does anybody feel faith in their life kind of just building, listening to this story? I'm like, man, if this would go on today, I believe I could tear hell down piece by piece. Well, you shall receive of their hands. Go on and take that. Verse 5. And then you're going to come to the hill of God. This is my favorite part. And this is what we're going to kind of back in for just a minute. Come to the hill of God where this garrison of Philistine is. It shall come to pass that when they are you come there to the city, that thou shalt meet this whole company, this church load. That's the way I've seen this story. I know I've got my own mindset or whatever, but there's going to be a church. There's going to be a whole church going to let out. A whole company of prophets. Wanting Pentecost, the whole church is going to let out. And they're going to all go down Christie's. That's where you're going to meet them. And they're going to go down there and they're going to meet there. And the company's going to, and I can tell it's a Pentecostal bunch. Because they got all their music instruments. They got their psaltery, they got their tabret, they got all their, they're a band. You're going to meet a Pentecostal church. And you know how Pentecostal people are. I mean, really Pentecostal people. You know how they are. It don't matter if it's Walmart or whatever, they're going to prophesy. They're going to go telling the truth. They're going to have church somewhere. They're going to be at the waiting room over there and they're going to discuss it all. I guarantee you, maybe we didn't individually talk to nobody so much there the other day, but I guarantee everybody in that waiting room heard a lot about Jesus the other day. You got two loud voices like mine and Whitlock's are. And Basil was saying a lot, but he's quiet. They couldn't hear nothing from me and Whitlock. Can you imagine the waiting room for me and Whitlock not wanting to shut up? That's what they met. They met this whole gang. That's what he met, this whole gang. And they was in full song. They was playing their best worship and praise music. So much to the fact that it was spilling over. I just want to say that. You know what? It ought to spill over. Amen. And then verse 6. This was the product of all of that. He said, when all this, here's your last sign. Here's your kind of your last sign that comes out of all of that. He says, after all that kind of comes, here it kind of comes. He says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. And thou shalt prophesy. He's talking to Saul now. The Spirit of the Lord is now going to come upon thee. And you then shall prophesy. The Pentecost, you know what? I know a lot of folk make fun of us. They make fun of us because we like to do big worship. We like to do big praise. We like to honor him. We like to sing it 10 times or 5 times. Or Brother Lee always gets up if he really feels moved and he tells Paul, let's sing that one more time. Let's do that verse just one more. You know what? Yeah, that's what I do. You know what? I believe it's really in line even with this story. That is out of that atmosphere and out of that environment, out of that Pentecostal type move is where his Spirit can come. Where it's in that environment that the Spirit of God can come upon people. That's the power of this story this morning. That it was in that kind of flow. It wasn't just a sign. I guarantee you the signs had him going. I guarantee you him carrying them loaves of bread and him all that stuff coming to pass. But then with the praise and worship and everything that broke out and in the Spirit, he was set up. He was set up for a spiritual flow. For sure. And in such a way that it flowed and it flowed and to the point then he couldn't stand it no longer. This is a powerful thing. It's an awesome thing that we worship and that we praise. It's an awesome thing that God's Spirit moves. But if that last part there don't happen, if we don't begin ourselves to prophesy or proclaim inspired truth, to speak it, us personally. I'm going to tell you, that's how I got saved. I don't know about you, but it was in a setting where the Pentecostal band, if you will, moved, and God's Spirit moved in such a way that the Spirit came, and it was in that moment that I prophesied a truth. It was a hard truth, but it was a saving truth. You know what I prophesied? It dawned on me, and I said this to myself, I'm going to die and be judged. I know that's not the prophecy some of you was looking for, but that's still truth. And it was out of a Holy Ghost environment. The Spirit of God moving in such a powerful way that the Spirit came upon me and I realized I'm going to die and be judged. What I do, I prophesied truth personally. I began to prophesy truth that I need a Savior. Although I was gripped in, hanging on, the whole time I was prophesying, my God, I need a Savior. I prophesied, Jesus is the Savior. From a spiritual flow. Woo! It was in a Holy Ghost movement. Maybe not the Holy Ghost movement that our world thinks of, but it was in a Holy Ghost movement. This old boy said, I'm going to die and I'm going to be judged. I need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. I must confess my sins. I was a prophet and didn't know it. I'm going to tell you right now, if all God's Holy Spirit moves in the right way, you are a prophet and don't know it. If his Spirit flows and moves, ain't that how even the Bible was wrote? Ain't that what the Bible tells us, how the scriptures wrote? And men of old were moved upon by the Spirit of God and began to write these truths of God. Prophecy, a more sure word. Woo! A sure word of prophecy is written. A sure word of prophecy is spoken. When God's Spirit moves. It was part of what brought Saul from chasing jackasses to becoming captain. The whole heart of it. If you're gonna stop chasing jackasses and become a captain of your salvation, or become the captain of the God's inheritance, who is the captain of our salvation, you're gonna have to prophesy some truth that this is sin, this needs covering. I'm undone. I'm unrighteous. No, there's none good. No, not one. Now, that's just for salvation. I've learned in these Pentecostal flows, when I meet up with all these Pentecostal bands, that there's flows and unctions that come all the time that I can send. I am so glad that I'm still prophesying truth. I'm so glad they still, whoo, now I'm still meeting Pentecostal bands. And that I'm still able to get enough of inspired truth in my heart that my tongue and my lips got to say something. My God. It's a sad day when God's Spirit is not moving enough to cause us to voice our tongues, to give words to what we feel inside. That's like that song we were singing. What was that second song about his? What was that song we were singing? No, the next song. What was it? How great. How great. How great. I'm going to tell you what. You got to be pretty dead in your spirit not to be able to prophesy that truth. Hey! You're pretty dead. There ain't much spirit if you can't stand up in God's house with Him moving and say, how great is our God? That's prophecy, baby. From a spirit that's moving. That's in your heart. He's so big. He can't be contained. How great He is, I got to try to give voice. Somebody asked me here not long ago, and I do this, I don't intentionally do it, it just happens. A lot of times I get to preaching, get in a big way, get to feeling Him, and I'll just sporadically will speak in tongues. And somebody said, is that biblical? I said, well, it's just a tongue, not knowing what to do with the glory that it has seen. That's all I can tell you. I said, I don't know if it's biblical or not. I'm just going to tell you, it's my tongue. My tongue ain't got words. Hey! For what's going on in this heart of mine. I don't know what you want to call it. You can call it what you want. I can call it a pretty good time. When my soul and my spirit feel something that I can't verbalize in the English language. My God, Appalachia didn't. I appreciate Appalachia. I love Appalachian language. I love hillbilly talk. I love the ain'ts and the furs and the what Kenyas and all those yonders. I love all that. But my God in heaven, I'm so happy that sometimes I can just let out the words of God, the words of the kingdom. I can speak things that my vocabulary ain't got words for. Hey, that's all that ever is. It's just God hitting my spirit, and I do manage to get hay out. I try not to scare the company. Hey! Amen. 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 And all this was for a reason. It wasn't all just for show. You understand that? I got to finish. It was for a reason. Us Pentecostal, now I know it's been abused. It's been this, it's been perverted, it's been that, it's been horror, it's been there. But it's not for a show. It's not ever been for a show. It's never been about a show. It's for a greater purpose. It's for a greater purpose. Verse 7 tells us that purpose. Verse 7 says this. Samuel tells him, says, let all these signs and let all this be an occasion that serve you so that you will know God is with you. So you'll know. Assurance. I got the facts. That gives me assurance. It does. Facts do. I know Jesus' work. I've studied the facts. Like Brent was talking about his book. And this brother here talks about, I've heard him talk about, I thank the Lord for the facts that I have filled my mind. I've got assurance because I know Jesus died. And I know he rose again. And that gives me assurance and all the other things that go with that. And that's not even close to all of it. But also I'm glad that's just in my mind. I'm so glad that I've got an experience. Come on. All this shall serve thee so that you'll know. For confidence, for an insurance. So you'll know that I'm with you. You'll know. You'll have such confidence. Like I said this morning, I think it's a great need. It's a big issue because people ain't doing what they need to be doing because they ain't got the assurance. I stand here this morning only because of the fact and the experience. Because I was just as scared as everyone else. I was just as nervous as everyone else. Yeah, God called me. Called me at the mailbox. Remember, I've told you the story 1,000 times. Called me to preach right at the mailbox. And I told him, I said, the man you're looking for, he's about a mile down the road. And he's already preaching. So that's who you want, God. I've told you the stories. I didn't even want to tell Cindy. How bad of confidence, how much of a need, how much assurance did I need when I wasn't even going to go in and tell my wife, the Lord said he wants me to preach. That was 26 years ago. You want to know how come it did? It wasn't because man built me up or puffed me up or patted me on the back. No, because I learned right off the bat. That first year, man tried to push me down, keep me out, and lock me down. You better not depend on man to build you up to do God's work. I'll tell you that right now. Has man ever built you up to do God's work? I guarantee you, there's a few that'll help you, try to encourage you, but most of them tear you down every step of the way. Tell you why you can't, why you shouldn't. You? Woo! I'm glad you're here this morning. But it was the assurance. It was because one July night, 3 days actually before I'd be diagnosed with a cancer they said I could not live from. One July night, God seen fit to move this band of Pentecostals. Move them off the hill of Bethel. Move me up the hill to the garrison, whatever. And we come in contact with each other. Man didn't have to lay his hand on me. Man didn't have to push me down. Man didn't have to. Oh, no. I went up with something else on my mind. They had something else on their mind. I went up all by myself over here in the corner. Assurance. No, man didn't teach me to speak in tongues. I know that might ruffle feathers in here too, but no, man didn't teach me to speak in tongues. If you want to be taught by man, that's fine. But I spoke as God gave me the unction. That's the way I still speak. That's why I don't worry about man. Man had taught me to, man could tell me to stop. Oh, I feel my helper up in this place. Hey! I would just ask some of y'all to sit in there a little bit. I would just ask you this. I'd just tell you, give God and give His Spirit the benefit of the doubt. What does that mean, preacher? That means you have your doubts. That's all right. But you should give God the benefit that his word is sovereign. That his word is true. True. And if you just give God the benefit of the doubt. I had to. My God, I'll never stop. I know I got to. Let's land this thing. Let's bring this thing. Let's bring this thing home, somebody. Let's help me, somebody. He says this, let this serve thee, whatever. Let this be what is going to help you. But go back, if you would, go back to verse 6 real quick. I got to finish this up. Verse 6, all this happened, and this is what happened. And thou shalt be, because of this, you shall be turned into another man. Ain't this powerful? Change. Turn. Saul, you've been this, but today, and I just want to stop right here and tell you something. There's been so many days. I'm so thankful that it's his spirit is able to turn me into another man. He is a mood changer. If you want a different year this year, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be straight up with you. You're going to probably have the same circumstances. You're going to probably have the same. Most of your issues ain't going to change. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to say this through scripture, through prophecy, prophetic scripture. It'll get worse, probably. If you're thinking it's going to be a brighter 2019 because things is going to be glorious better, I'm just going to go on. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, but I'm just going to tell you right now, it's probably going to get worse. Probably going to get darker. You're probably going to feel worse. You're going to probably go have issues. You're going to have to deal with that. This is going to go on. As a matter of fact, if you got through 2018, you're sitting up in here this morning with a little bit of a grin on your face, you had a good year. 2019, probably going to be worse according to Scripture. But if you really want to change, if you really want to be another man, you want a mood changer, you want to be able to set up in 2019 with the same issues that drug you down in 2018 and be able to give glory to God. Well, it's his spirit. Am I preaching this okay, brother? Hey. That's important. Hey. I believe that this morning. Changed into another man. I went out the door. One way, come back another. How many has ever come to church one way? Come to church one way. You ain't really sure why you come. Some of you cuss coming down the parking lot. Mad, disgusted, frustrated, unbelief, doubting, hoping Lee Sarver wouldn't still be preaching at 12:20. But that fool is. He sure enough is. But get to church. And whether it was the music, whether it was the atmosphere, whether it was the spirit, whether it was the preaching, but whether the spirit was moving and all that, this Pentecostal band. I said this old Pentecostal band. And daggone, you didn't even realize it. And you went out the door smiling. Mood changer. Mood changer. Mood changer. I can think of 1,000 people that needs a mood changer. I need to quit thinking about them. Paul, where's the Pentecostal band? Pentecostal band. I want, hey, I want y'all to sing your most anointed song. I'm serious. I'm serious. Of course, that's what God wants. Whatever God wants this morning. I ain't done. Can you tell? I just abruptly hit the runway. Because I realize I'm in an artesian well here this morning. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I'm in an artesian well. I'm not going to be able to shut it off, so we're just going to have to come in. Mayday, mayday, coming in. Two reasons, Brother Angle, I end abruptly. One is when it's not going well, and one when it's going too long. And I feel like I'm in the latter this morning.